Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Greg Bresnitz.
And I'm Darren Bresnitz. We're the host of Snacky Tunes.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode on the Heritage Radio Network. You're listening to the Farm Report, and I'm your host, Erin Fairbanks, and coming to you not today from beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn, but a hallway in Midtown Manhattan. I am attending today the Upstate Downstate Farm-to-Table Agriculture Summit. It's a great day. Here, lots of leaders from the food system talking about all different kinds of issues, from equity and policy to upstate downstate connections, farmers, distribution. I definitely recommend for those who aren't able to attend, check out our Twitter feed and follow the hashtag TasteNY to hear a little bit more about what's happening today. One of the topics, very apropos of my guest today, has been, you know, coming up on Christmas time here in the city and across the world, and of course, your neighbors are being heard. Your streetscapes are being dotted with pop-up Christmas tree and Christmas wreath stands, and kind of got us thinking, you know, where is it that these trees are coming from? I know when I was a girl growing up in northern Michigan, we'd jump out into the woods and go on a family hunt for the elusive blue spruce, but when you live in the city, it's a little bit of a different situation. So we connected with NYC Trees, and we're joined today by one of their founders, Louis DeLucia. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's great to
have
you.
How are you doing here? Yeah, it's pretty hard hearing the introduction. You know, so I got a little bit near the end. I'm glad the sound came back right before we started.
Well, we are going now. We are live. So I wanted to kind of kick off getting a little bit of a sense of your background, because I know before you and your brother Harold started the NYC Trees program, you know, you have much longer history in agriculture, so maybe you can give us a little bit of a lowdown on how you got into the fruit and vegetable world.
Yeah, sure. That's where it all began, working with our uncle over in Monroe Township in New Jersey. And when you're younger, you're getting farm licenses. At 16 years old, we could drive the trucks or cut and drive the trucks, going into inner cities, and setting up our own farmers markets and doing that year in, year out, every summer. You pick up a lot of skills, you know, on the street and see other opportunities. And so from there, I went to New York City into Astoria and brought it back to where I was born, over on 21st Street by 30th Avenue. We set up a little farmers market in the city there. And one thing led to another. We met some people in the Upper East Side who had restaurants that allowed us to do farmers markets in the Upper East Side. And it just kind of snowballed from there. And for the last 5 years, we've been coming to the city religiously every June through October. And 2 years ago, me and my brother had the idea to get some Christmas trees, you know, from neighboring farmers in New Jersey, bring trees. They grow trees. They sell trees on their farm. And they don't really sell too many trees. So we figured we'd help them out and buy as many trees as we could sell. And that's what we've been doing for the last 2 years.
That's awesome. So definitely Christmas trees are one of the funny things in that they're obviously an agriculture product, but I think when people think about farms, they don't often think about Christmas tree farms. So I'm wondering, can you talk a little bit about what a Christmas tree farm looks like and kind of how you got connected with the neighboring farms?
Yeah, well, Christmas tree farms look have all different heights, you know, growing in different parts of the farm. There's guys in our area in central Jersey right outside of Princeton, Monroe Township, and Hightstown that have farms where they farm about like 300 to 500 different Christmas trees a season. They're cutting down and selling on their farm and selling to other, you know, other guys who are setting up Christmas tree stands in the central Jersey region.
One of the things you guys know on your website is that the bulk of trees that, you know, New Yorkers would find here in the city are coming from
Canada or the Carolinas. I'm wondering if you have any sense of, you know, why that is, why there hasn't been kind of a history of locally sourced Christmas trees.
I think it's a price point, you know, it's just a large-scale operations, very commercial, the commercial farming of trees and coming down, you know, with contracted tractor trailers at great rates for the trucking, and to get the tree landed in New York City at a very competitive price, which pushes the local farmer out of the market. And they're stuck selling at their roadside stand and cut your own. So this gives an opportunity to them to, you know, an outlet into the city, and hopefully other tree vendors will, you know, be encouraged to buy from local farms and help them out.
Yeah, I think that's one of the interesting things about your business is, you know, you guys aren't just setting up a shop that people can come and pick up, but you're actually taking it essentially kind of door-to-door. And was that something that was obvious that needed to be kind of the service provision from the beginning, or did you kind of stumble into that?
Oh, that was my brother's vision, and I was against it. I didn't really see it going anywhere, to be honest. And it has really mushroomed at this point, and it's moving in the right direction. And people appreciate the convenience and the service to get the Christmas tree up three flights of stairs, four flights of stairs, in the service elevator on time or very close to within that one-hour time frame, constant communication with the customer. So I think that it's something that's one less thing they have to worry about this holiday season.
Working with the Fraser Firs, is there like a particular reason of that type of tree was the right fit? Is it kind of more conducive to the
environment? Yeah, it's known for its fragrance.
Is there a deal that gives people that there was a demand for that, or why the Fraser Fir?
For a few reasons. The needle retention, it's big for customers. And you know, once they start seeing their needles drop, you know, you don't want to start getting phone calls when you're busy running around the city with your stands and making deliveries. So you want a tree that smells good, that looks full, and has a great needle retention. And just by coincidence, most of the local farms raise Fraser Firs in New Jersey.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I'm wondering, can you give us a little bit of sense of the life cycle of the tree? I mean, are folks planting trees from seed, or how does it work? Did it come out of a nursery and then the farmers are taking it the last couple of years? Like the Christmas tree that, you know, we would be ordering from you guys, how long of a process is that, and kind of what are the steps along that chain?
Transplanting? Well, this started as like little plants in the greenhouses, and they're raised up until they're strong enough and hardy enough to be planted out in fields. And that whole process, so we get the most common Fraser Fir that we sell is a 6 to 7 foot, and that's about, you know, approximately 5 to 6 years of growth. So a process of starting in the greenhouse, raising it up to sapling, and then transplanting into larger pots, which are outdoor covered to protect it, and then finally out into the fields. About 7 years for our most popular tree.
And is there like a reason that like the tree farm, like those farmers that are like located in your area to raise trees as opposed to kind of like other fruits and vegetables or something that had a more
soil content, you know?
Yeah.
That wasn't conducive for vegetables. I believe that vegetables are much more lucrative for a farmer, and it's quicker too. It's one season, and it's a 7-year process. It's a lot for a farmer to raise something, take care of it, and maintain it for 7 years before they can sell it. So I just think that the location isn't ideal for vegetables. I tried it a few times. It's not working out, but let's go with some Christmas trees.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would imagine, you know, New Jersey is such a small state. I would imagine that, like, Christmas tree production often happens in places where access to, like, large swaths of farmland is more the norm. Is there a number of, you know, are you guys working with kind of like a niche group of farmers there, or is like the Christmas tree industry kind of any type of significant player in the New Jersey agriculture scene?
Oh, they're all pretty much on the same size of farms. It's interesting that you bring that point up, because the people who are farming the Christmas trees who are in a financial position to sit on their crop for 7 to 10 years often have these farms passed down generation after generation. They're big names. They've been around for a long time. In the Somerset, Middlesex County, and Monmouth County area. And we they only grow so many trees. Like I said, 300 to 500 trees is about the average size they're cutting at one given farm. So kind of just share the love, you know, and sort
Yeah, no, sure. And also just like one of those kind of interesting ways that having kind of like a diversified kind of regional ag infrastructure, it's like that kind of flow of product is really also keeping all that land in farmland in a way that like otherwise, it, you know, may get developed for some other use.
Right, yeah, bringing the money back to those towns and those farmers prevents the spread of the McMansions. Yeah, that's what it's doing right
for
now.
For sure, for sure. What about on the back end with regards to, like, well, I know one of the other kind of issues for kind of more city-dwelling folk is, like, you know, tree removal and disposal. Is that kind of part of the equation for you guys at all, or do you leave that to the New York City, you know, sanitation department?
I've come over here and, like, every other word at the moment. Can you repeat that?
Oh, sure. I mean, like, one of the other challenges, I think, for city residents, you know, is, like, after the holiday season is what do you do with your tree? And I was just wondering if you guys had any work on that kind of back end of the system, or if you leave that to the New York City. You know,
no, we could we provide that service. People could log on to our website at nyctrees.com, and they could order a tree. They could also have it removed. But in addition to that,
the
sanitation department collects trees and turns them into mulch for the city parks. So it's as simple as just taking your tree out. You know, if it's a big tree and it's hard to get out, you're not going to be around, that service may be for you. Otherwise, if you could get it downstairs to the curb during that post-holiday season week, sanitation department will come around and pick the trees up, and they store them under the Queens Bridge, and there's a few other locations they store them throughout the city, and then they turn them into mulch.
Huh. I would kind of imagine it goes to, that kind of school to go through like a graveyard of Christmas trees.
Yeah, it's a recycled a tree campaign. I believe they refer to it as recycle the tree. Yes, it's pretty simple. Just leave it right there, right where you put your garbage out on the curb, and they come and scoop it up. Just hold on to those stands because they're valuable.
that's
amazing. Walking around the city, you know. Finding trees in the garden on the curb.
It's, you know, obviously when you're dealing with something like a Christmas tree, it's not something that poses any kind of safety concerns that I can think of. Is there any type of kind of regulatory infrastructure that you had to go through to become a salesperson for the Christmas trees, or were there any other issues around kind of adding those as a component to your business from, I don't know, insurance standpoint or anything like that?
Well, for the first part of the question, vending Christmas trees on the streets in New York during the holiday season is grandfathered in. And as long as you have permission from the owners of the building, you're allowed to sell Christmas trees there. Then there's the other level to that where you'll see larger stands in public spaces in the parks, and those spots are auctioned off at Parks Department. And come at a very high price to Christmas tree vendors. And the last part about the insurance, and we all know how expensive insurance is. For 1 month, it's absolutely ridiculous how much we spend in insurance to provide protection to ourselves and our assistants.
Yeah, suddenly I feel like I'm getting a real deal when I think about a product that somebody had to kind of take care of for 6-7 years, and then all the facets of getting it, you know, into my apartment, kind of feeling like the Christmas tree suddenly seems like quite a steal.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
All right, well, Louis, I'm going to ask you to hang tight for a second. We're going to take a quick station break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about your other program with the trees, the NYC Care. So hang tight for a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment.
You are listening to Spicy Peanuts by Evan Hashi.
Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus, Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
It is so exciting to have this new medium.
Hosting After the Jump has been a huge part of me transitioning from being a blogger to somebody who has sort of real important conversations with people in real life.
My show, I kind of describe it as an audio trade magazine.
I learn a ton from the guests every week, whether it's restaurants, bars.
All the hosts at Heritage all come from different perspectives.
Everyone should be listening to this. If you're interested in conservation and practical approach to renewable food sources, you know, not this big industry.
Whether it's history, laws, social policies of food, I think people now take food seriously, and hopefully what's on their plate will become something very special.
And I feel that podcasting has a future, giving people information in a format they can really use on the go.
We need your support to keep these conversations going. To donate, visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Hey, my name is Betsy Andrews, executive editor of Severa Magazine, and I am hanging out at the coolest, most delicious place in the world, heritageradionetwork.org.
All right, we are back.
Much,
you have listened to the Farm Report,
one little man.
Kind of Farm Report, kind of ad hoc. I am calling in from the middle of Manhattan, and I'm on the line with Louis DeLucci, who is the founder and owner of NYC Trees. We've been talking Christmas trees. So, Louis, you guys also formed a kind of interesting way to give back this holiday season. Can you talk a little bit about what prompted that and kind of how that tree system works?
Yeah, we came up with a campaign for giving away 25 Christmas trees this holiday season to nominations. People just write into our info at NYC Trees and nominate someone to receive a free tree stand and delivery. Our service delivered to anywhere you want in the city. And we just delivered two. And the first one was just heart-wrenching. You know, you're driving around the city, making these deliveries, trying to complete these one-hour windows to keep everybody happy and spread the holiday joy. And you're like, where is on you? And then you see an email thinking it's going to be another instruction on where to go next. And it's a nomination. And it comes in, and you get to, you know, stop what you're doing. And the stress just is relieved, and you read through someone's nomination. And it was just an amazing feeling. It started last year. We have giving trees to residents and buildings and neighborhood people and just helping them out. You could tell when someone, you know, is struggling. And those are the ones that we like to help out. Anybody who's struggling this holiday season or not necessarily financially, just having a hard time, we'd love to just, you know, come over and surprise them with a tree.
Yeah, it sounds like a really, like, fun moment and also kind of, again, one of those belated glimpses of the obvious, especially for folks who are living on a fixed income and, you know, in addition to kind of trying to put together funds for kind of holiday gifts and holiday dinners, the tree is a whole other kind of facet to that. So, I mean, super exciting that you guys are getting to, I don't know, be part of so many great holiday celebrations. So hats off to you. But that, you know, that kind of giving back component is not new to you or your work. I mean, I think one of the other things that I was taking a peek at as I was looking through your bio is the Garden State Home Project that you head up. And I would love to share with our listeners a little bit about that aspect of your work while we have some time left.
Erin, could you repeat that last part?
I couldn't
hear too much, so I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to kind of follow up with the time that we have left to hear a little bit more about one of your other kind of projects as it relates to giving back the Garden State homework that you do.
Yeah, a close team of mine founded the Garden State Home 2007. We came from various residential backgrounds, working with homeless youth in shelters and in independent living programs and treatment homes, and we thought that we could do a better job than the agencies that we were working for. So we got together and found a couple of locations that we could potentially use to create a home for five young men. And we were awarded a grant in 2007, and we've been running that location ever since. And 2 years ago, we were awarded another grant to open up a location in South Jersey. And both of our homes are closely related with the local agricultural scene. And it's the farmers, who I have a good relationship with, my uncle as well, assisted us in acquiring the site, which is a crucial element of your proposal to the state. Now, you have site control, and these landowners, these big, successful farmers, family farmers, that they have resources. They own property. They have an old farmhouse here, and we restored a farmhouse down in South Jersey for five young men who are currently living there now. This beautiful house that was built in the late 1700s. It was pretty neat. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. I mean, it sounds like you are a very busy guy. What's on the agenda after the end of the Christmas and the tree season for you?
After the tree season, it's back to a garden state home 100%. And hanging out with my family as much as I can.
Awesome. I know oftentimes farmers start over the winter planting their dream farm or their dream garden, or kind of imagining, looking through seed stock and that kind of thing. I mean, any big projects on the horizon for the next growing season?
Yeah, we're looking forward to partner with some friends in the Upper East Side. We get a permanent location and a hybrid on the street, off the street, restaurant, farmer's market location that we're working out. It's looking pretty good. I'm very excited about that, especially the opportunity to prepare food. And we grow some pretty interesting peppers, a Macedonian sweet pepper that you roast it, peel the skin off it, and I just want to saute that and put it in little quarts for people with garlic and olive oil. And that's the next plan.
The next thing on the horizon. Well, I definitely look forward to kind of keeping in touch and unfolding your work in the weeks and months to come. What's the deadline on Christmas tree purchases? If people want to get a tree this year, is there still time?
Oh, the 23rd is the last day this year.
Oh, really?
The 23rd. We're going. I think we're taking Christmas Eve off. Yeah.
Hey, I have another question, actually, just thinking about, here in the city. We had the lighting of the tree at Rockefeller Center last night. Obviously, that's a tree from kind of a different type of situation. But do you have any sense when folks are really looking to get those giant statement pieces, where do those come from?
I'm glad you brought that up. We could talk about that because we just had an interesting encounter with a big giant tree. And we saw Rockaway Partnership, 116 Rockaway Beach Partnership. We're looking for a tree for their annual event for the victims of Sandy who lost their homes out in Rockaway and their businesses. And they've got a tree out there, supposed to get a 30-foot tree, and it turned out to be like a 15-foot tree, and it was had a bunch of holes in it. Someone pulled a switch on them, and it was terrible, and they had all the press there. And the guy, we got in touch with me and was able to find a tree in Monroe Township. My buddy has a nursery there. There was a Fraser fir, five of them growing, the tallest one about 23 feet tall, and full foliage, beautiful tree. It got cut down that morning, put on a truck, and taken to Rockaway Beach, where they stood it up, and it was standing in its stand in the street by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then they had their tree lighting ceremony for the community the next day. So it's not easy getting a big tree into the city, especially this late in the game. We have to schedule that out in October, and we were able to do it in one day. So I was proud of all my friends and my brother who came together and organized that.
Yeah, how do you move a tree that big?
With the equipment. You cut it down, and then with the equipment, they use a bobcat or backhoe, just picking it up and with ropes and carrying it up into a 26-foot box truck. It's like a 25-foot tree. Just kind of pushed it in there with the equipment on both sides using ropes.
Wow. Well, I think that is a good place for us to leave off. It's been really great getting a chance to hear a little bit more about your story, and you've definitely given me plenty of food for thought as it relates to my next Christmas tree purchase. Thanks so much for being a guest today.
Well, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
If folks want to find out more, or if you live in the New York City area and want to purchase a tree, check them out at www.nyctrees.com. You can also find them on Twitter at nyctrees.
What is
Thanks
that,
so much
fish?
For bearing with me on my first attempt at a two-way call-in farm report show. Not something I'll probably revisit in the future. Exploring the limits of our technology.
Thanks again for tuning in. We are in the midst of kicking off our end-of-year fund drive, so if you believe in our work and want to support what we do, the best way is to become a member by visiting our website, www.heritageradionetwork.org. Thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned in.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.